Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello, and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you chose to join us tonight. I think we're going to have a really solid conversation. The topic tonight is coaching yourself in turbulent times, and our guest is Tom Daly, PhD. You know, if you're a man, or if you know a man, or even if you like to relate to men's issues, this is the show for you. So get comfortable and listen in. I think we're going to have an excellent dialogue. Tom Daly is a co-founder of Living Arts Foundation, the Men's Leadership Alliance, and creator of the Leadership Training Program. He is a teacher, therapist, life transition coach, and a nationally respected elder in men's soul work. I mean, do we have a guest tonight or not? I'm so delighted. He's also the author of Wild Men at the Border. I love that title. Four Gateways Coaching, and he's co-creator of the Inner King Training and founder of Four Gateways Coaching. He's led men's groups and done rites of passage work for over 30 years. And he's best known for his ability to create powerful containers for sacred soul work. Join me in welcoming Tom Daly to the show. Tom, it's delightful to have you back on the show.
Oh, thank you, Les. Yeah, it's great to be back.
Hey, you know, I really like the title tonight, Coaching Yourself in Turbulent Times. What brought that title to mind when we invited you to the show?
Well, I think pretty much any sane person would say right now we're in the rapids. We're going through a lot of turbulence, and it just appeals to me. I've been working with self-care issues for a long time, and I just thought, boy, this just brings it right up and brings it right into our face. You know, how can we handle being in the rapids and, you know, paddling like crazy, and how can we keep ourselves centered? And so I just think, yeah, it's important. It's super important for all of us to figure out the ways that we can survive and in this kind of time. And, you know, the important thing to me about this is humans, it seems to me, have always need some kind of stress or difficulty in order to bring out our best. I mean, we often get lazy when we're, you know, everything's cruising. And so the good news is this turbulence and being in this kind of situation right now at so many different levels on this planet, this gives us all an opportunity to step up. In fact, that's exactly what's needed in this time, in my judgment, is that each person needs to actually bring their unique gifts to the world. And when we do that, then, you know, we can not only survive the turbulence, but we can thrive and we can support, you know, the healing and the integration and working to create a better world, you know, that world that our heart knows is possible. But we have to stay awake and we have to actually dig deeper. So I'm certainly finding that that's true for me. I'm pretty challenged by all the events taking place out in the world right now, and I keep thinking, boy, there are so many tipping points, and I have to just keep coming back to, you know, how can I stay centered? And, you know, I think of it in terms of the four different quadrants that I work with a lot, the four categories, you know, mental, physical, emotional, relational, and spiritual. And when I put it in those categories, it seems a little bit more manageable. So, you know, I'd be happy to talk about those four different levels. And I also wanted to, you know, since, you know, mostly I've worked with men over the years, I ran across an interesting article, you know, like about a year ago that listed the four regrets that men often say on their deathbeds. And I think they point to some real clarity about how we can take care of ourselves in a good way. So shall I just launch into that, or do you have any questions?
Well, why don't you share the four points that you were talking about as far as men had in that article?
Oh, yeah. So I'll start there. So this was a study that was done in hospitals, and I will be able to find the reference if somebody wants it. But the four were... The men said, I wish I had been more true to myself. I wish I had expressed my love more and been more intimate with my family and friends. I wish I had worked less and taken it easier. And I wish I had seen that my satisfaction with life and personal happiness was an inner game and that it had a lot less to do with external circumstances. So for us men to end up our lives without those regrets, it will take some changing. It will take some self-care to really make the changes that we need. In other words, to, you know, be more true to ourselves, we'll have to come into a more sovereign place, you know, that where we can really feel our deep knowing and, you know, that sense of this is who I am and this is where I'm going. And, you know, a lot of us are not trained that way. We're trained to, you know, please somebody else and follow somebody else's path. And we don't get much reinforcement for, you know, following that deep knowing, that being quality of ourselves.
Well, you know,
I
like what you're talking about, because I mean, from the man's perspective, there's so much external stimulus that you know, the media will portray, or even like sports or something like that. People are interested in like the winners, or you go to the club to work out, and the guy pulls up in the fancy car, and other, you know, when other men see that, that's a measuring stick for themselves. And it sounds like I hear myself. If you have a radio up, you might want to turn that down.
No, I don't have any.
Okay, well, it is what it is. So when they see that guy that seems all together, quote, together,
sure,
unquote,
and
then they look at themselves and they don't see that same togetherness, they feel more of a mess or more of, you know, like pieces,
sure,
they're trying to put together.
Yeah, that's right. They forget about, you know, what's really important to them and their own values and their own, you know, system of what's right and wrong to them. I mean, we're so conditioned by our culture to, you know, like you said, compare and contrast ourselves to others. And you know, there's not many people out there that are just saying, hey, really be true to yourself. Most people are saying, you know, if you want to be satisfied, buy our product, or, you know, be like that other guy, or be a hero, you know. And
right,
most of the heroes I know are, the real heroes are the dads and people that are out there, you know, being of service in the world and taking care of others. And so, you know, the really heartbreaking, wonderful stories that you hear are really about personal relationships. And so, you know, that second one I mentioned, wishing I had expressed my love more and been more intimate with my family and friends. You know, that's when guys are working so hard out there to compete with other men, that a lot of men end their lives with, you know, gosh, I missed my kids' childhood, and I didn't deepen my relationship with my wife because I was working so hard or trying to make a buck and, you know, prove myself. So, you know, all these things do kind of interweave and tie together. So like what you were saying, the comparison is huge, and also the working less. You know, we measure our success by, you know, how much money we can make or fame or fortune or whatever it is, and instead of looking inside ourselves and, you know, really appreciating the connections that we have and the love that we share with our loved ones and family and friends. So, so those are those four kind of sum it up. You know, if we could figure out how to be true to yourself, how to express your love, how to work less, and how to feel that satisfaction that comes within, you know, then we'd be in some kind of, you know, much better shape, and no matter what in our lives. And I'm finding, you know, that I have to just be much, much more intense about my practices. I mean, I have to really think about how can I care for myself mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And, you know, I have some thoughts about how to do that, and I'd be happy to go into it unless you have something you want to add.
No, I think that's real relevant to where we are in this conversation. Go ahead and share that.
Sure. So mentally, I find that I really, really have to protect my mind. With all the media out there and the constant, you know, being in front of a screen and, you know, being bombarded constantly, I find that I have to really, really be a warrior about setting boundaries and saying, no, I have to turn that off. I maybe will check in with, you know, one news story or one paper a day to just kind of see how the world's doing. But then that's it, you know, because most of that stuff that we hear in the news and all the sensationalism is really about fear. And I can feel that I get hooked into that. And so if I don't set real clear boundaries, you know, I get agitated and I feel uncomfortable, and yeah, I just don't feel like I'm being myself. And then once I'm afraid, then I'm much more easily distracted, you know, even further. So, you know how the internet is. I mean, it's the perfect distraction machine. And
sure.
If you're not on top of it and you don't have some real clarity about how often and how much media you consume, it will consume you. So that's kind of my first step, you know, in terms of the mental. It's like if I'm not really paying attention to reading good books or listening to people that I really respect and trust and honoring my mentors and people that, you know, that I'm connected with, then, you know, for sure I'm going to be off track. So,
you know,
that's
one,
the mental part.
One of the things I notice about the mental part for myself, just to share a perspective I have, is that when we go into an unexpected roller coaster, something happens, and our minds are consumed. Like there's a crisis at work and you have to work 3 long days or something, or maybe there's a death in the family and your world is turned upside down. And then when you kind of come out of the storm, your mind can be so wiped clean that you kind of lost track of what you're doing. For example, Say you're going to write a book and you develop a habit of writing for an hour every Saturday morning or something like that. And then you go through some kind of a crisis and Saturday morning comes, you're wiped out.
Sure.
And that habit falls away. And so mentally, when you're stressed mentally, you tend to shed things that are not critical.
Yeah, of course.
And it's part of it's part of that self-satisfaction too, because when I think your heart and your soul really can feel a genuine sense of satisfaction when you do things that honor your talent and your purpose. So so mentally staying focused. And sometimes it can be as easy as having just two or three bullet points, you know, write a book, to have some substance, some staying power, if you will, as these unexpected turmoils come up. So keep going.
Absolutely. So the key word there, as far as I read it, is practice. I mean, this is, life is an art form, and we got to keep practicing being creative and learning how to do it. And these, all this turbulence, the rapids we're in, are really challenging us to go deeper and, you know, deepen into our practices. That's the way I feel about it. It's just as you said, I have a writing practice myself, and just in the last year, I felt like I have kind of lost my drive. I've lost my purpose related to that. And I can just feel like, you know, when I come off one of those time periods where, you know, something else became higher priority, I just acknowledge that, you know, just acknowledge it and say, okay, you know, slowly but surely getting back into those practices and routines that actually, you know, help me to, you know, care for myself at these different levels. So, and we all want to bring out our more creative self, and we have to create the space in which to do that. And So carving out the time, we have to use our warrior energy to just set some boundaries and just say, you know, I am going to be doing that. And really, it doesn't matter how long you do it. If you just stick with these practices, you know, you have to find what those are, what are your priorities, and then just move a little bit in that direction every day. And that's the key as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, none of these things that, I mean, everybody has great self-care tips, but when it gets down to it, how do we do it? Well, we have to actually do it. You know, we actually have to sit there and meditate, or go to, I mean, the next thing I was going to talk about is the physical level. We have to go to the gym, or we have to do our stretching, or we have to take a walk. I personally take a walk every morning, gets me started, and then I know that I've started in a good way. It really makes my day. I mean, there's some way in which, you know, if I don't get my walk in, then I feel a little bit off track each day. And so I have to, you know, and some days I do. I mean, some days there's just no way to do that. And so I have to just say, okay, that's fine. You know, a couple of days a week I'll miss it, but then get right back on track. And, of course, you know, eating right, breathing is good, standing up, you know, from your desk, you know, not getting stuck there. You know, there's all these simple practices that sound good, you know, and we hear them a lot, but actually making them happen, that's another story. So, and I think that has to do, again, with what to me is critical here, and that is getting support. And so that's the third one. You know, self-care, it sounds like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this all myself. Well, nobody does anything all themselves. And we really need to get the support that we need to do these things that we know are right for us. And if we don't have that support, and a lot of men don't, you know, obviously in the world of male competition out there, it's hard to get a mentor or an elder or somebody that, you know, will support you in really doing the practices that would be helpful. So it's not a lone wolf thing. And in fact, I would say probably I could probably track almost any of these turbulent problems in the world, all the way from, you know, countries at war with each other right down to, you know, the problems in the streets in this country. We could track that down to isolation. You know, men get isolated. They don't have the support they need. And that causes a tremendous amount of pain and suffering in the world. Young men all over the planet are not getting the support. They don't have good jobs. They don't have a way to feel good about themselves as men. And so, you know, they isolate and sometimes they just act out. They either, you know, kill themselves or end up, you know, out there on the street, you know, doing something horrible. So, the question is, the question is, how can we get more support? How can we have to reach out, and it's a very hard thing to do. I know that, and you know this too, I mean, men's groups are just tremendously valuable in, you know, creating a place where men can honestly come together and speak about what's really in their hearts and get support for that. So, you know, I have to always put in a plug for men's groups, because I can say personally they've saved my life, and I know so many men that would agree with that.
Well, a lot of times in men's circles, the idea of sharing something that's troubling you or sharing something that's weighing heavy on your mind oftentimes isn't perceived as any kind of a strength or power position. But I find that when I've hosted men's groups, when I create that safe space, that safe container, and then the trust kicks in, what comes out of men's mouths is so powerful. And when they finally share it in the presence of others, like you're saying, you know, that support mechanism, when you find out that those things that are weighing heavy on your heart and you share them and you get that nod of acknowledgement that other people are feeling the same way, all of a sudden it's not a personal isolated journey, but you can see yourself in others.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's the key. You know, you see that other men have similar issues, and and then you get to express actually some of those deeper feelings that you have and that you haven't been able to share someplace else. And just think what a different world it would be if all those all the people, all the young men that do so much damage in the world had somebody to talk to and somebody that they trusted and they could feel connected to. We're wired for connection. And when you don't have that and you feel isolated, then, you know, the mind can just actually do some real damage. We have that part of us that can just easily go crazy. And, you know, the worst thing you can do to a person is actually isolate them. I mean, we put, you know, men in solitary confinement. I mean, that's what society does with people that we feel like we can't handle. And a lot of these men that are really hurting out there do that to themselves, and we see the results. So, so let me move on to the next one. And
sure,
this is kind of related, actually, because it's this emotional level, this connection level, is we don't you know, so many men have been trained that, you know, it's okay just to feel, you know, anger, especially justified anger. And we're certainly seeing a lot of that out there right now in this culture. And but we're not trained to allow ourselves to feel our vulnerability. In fact, pretty much standard man training is, yeah, don't feel that softer side. Don't feel that more vulnerable part of you. Don't cry. You know, that's one of those Ten Commandments of masculinity. You know, don't show that to people, you know. And what that does, it creates an emotional dam in our lives. And then we start feeling like we're limited to, you know, just being, you know, just showing our anger, just, you know, that our, and occasionally we, you know, you might say to a close friend, wow, you know, that was really scary or something. But we never really allow ourselves to experience the sadness, the grief, emotional pain that we see. I mean, when we're, you know, just as normal human beings now, we see so much pain and grief on the media, and it's hard to know what to do with that. And if you don't have somebody you can talk to about that or connect with about that, you know, that all ends up inside, and, you know, we don't know what to do with it. So emotional connection, you know, really, really important. And, you know, I'm definitely not leaving women out of the picture here. I mean, it's very important for men to connect with other men and then also connect with, you know, their beloved women friends. And, you know, you need that balance. So, yeah, and then the last one, quadrant here that I want to talk about is the spiritual. But it's not the kind of spirituality that we get in church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm really talking about at the soul level. We need to care for ourselves at the soul level. And that kind of leads back to, you know, the very first regret that men have, that one about, you know, I wish I'd been more true to myself. Well, yeah. How do you get to be true to yourself? You have to actually just sit with yourself. And in this busy world, that's very difficult. It's hard to find time to just sit there and connect and be in, you know, that deep, sovereign place that really helps us to, you know, center ourselves and come from that really deep knowing, that deep wisdom. And when we do that, you know, everything gets better. We are more true to ourselves. We find that we can express our love and be more intimate. We find that, you know, that really deep part of ourselves probably doesn't want to work as hard as we are, you know, and wants to take it a little easier. And then we can also discover that, you know, that last one that I mentioned, which is feeling that your satisfaction comes from within. And when you have that deep connection with yourself, there's some automatic kind of blessing or satisfaction or approval that comes in there. So, and then from that, you know, you can reach out, I can reach out into the world and I can bless other people. I can be there for others when I care for myself more deeply at that level. Now, as I said before, that's really hard for men to get to because we're not trained to feel our inner sense of being. There isn't a being training. We get a lot of mind training and we get a lot of doing training. We get very little feeling training as men, and we get almost no training on just how to be okay with yourself. And you know, this is a program that I have developed with my friend Dimitri Bilger. We run this program called the Inner King Training, and the Inner King Training is basically a way to access that much deeper part of ourselves, that deep wisdom, that deep knowing that's beyond the mind. It's really our deep connection with that divine expression that comes through us. And when we get that, then everything changes. So, yeah, at some point I could, you know, talk more about that. But for right now, I think that's it. Do you have any questions about those four different levels?
Well, I really like what you've touched on. And it's kind of wrapping them all together that can bring a sense of balance in your life.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because like emotions.
Sure.
When I think about emotions, there's such a personal thing. They happen inside of your persona. They're an inside job. And so often in relationships and whatnot, we can find ourselves, well, you make me feel this or you make me feel that. And yet, in truth, I can't really decide what you feel.
Yeah.
And yet we put so much weight and baggage in our relationships, you know, even in the workplace, at home, and in our personal relationship. The idea of owning how somebody else feels. Because, you know, a lot of times I think men get a bad rap in the sense that they'll be kind of blamed, like, well, every time you do this, I feel this way, or every time you behave this way or that way, I feel. And even that idea that something I do decides how you feel is a form of bondage, in the sense that I can't really choose how you feel. So how can I get off that hook if indeed I have no sway in how somebody else feels?
Sure. Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's great. Well, we all get hooked. That's just human nature, you know. Somebody says something and, you know, it hooks us. And so I don't think there's any way to actually keep from getting hooked, but then at that point where you feel like you've been hooked and you're kind of going down a path that's very familiar and possibly painful, you can just step out and just say, okay, I feel like I'm getting hooked here. You can feel some anger rising or defensiveness, or you're feeling some sadness, but you don't want to admit it. You know, whatever it is, you can take a nice big deep breath, and I do this. You know, I certainly have this in my life. I mean, I get hooked pretty easily about a lot of things. But what I've learned over the years is if I notice it, if I say, okay, I'm getting hooked here, and I take a few steps, sometimes maybe I even have to remove myself from the situation for a few minutes, then I come back and I can say, okay, let's start again, or let's see if we really want to go down this path or if there's some other place that we can go to. And, you know, my wife and I have several different practices that we use. Sometimes if we really hook each other, then we do a process called knee to knee, and we just sit across from one another or kind of at an angle, and we both share what it is that's going on, and we have the other person reflect back to us, you know, what they heard. And then we just kind of go back and forth like that until we clear the air and get to the place where we can really own our own process and say, you know, I got hooked, and this is what I got hooked on. And usually those conversations lead to deeper feelings. And that's the important thing, is we really want to, you know, get to those deeper places, because that's where our truth is. I mean, I find that if I'm angry, underneath that, there's usually some sadness or hurt or vulnerability. And it takes a lot of courage to admit that. And as I said before, that's not something men are used to doing. We don't just stand up and say, yeah, ouch, that really hurt. Because, you know, we want to protect that vulnerability. And I think that's a, you know, that seems to be a kind of a natural way for pretty much anybody. So, yeah, I think that's a great point. And once I come back into that more clear space of my own deep authority or wisdom, and I'm being really true to myself, then, you know, of course, I'm going to be much more responsive to my wife or anybody else, you know, in the situation. And I can, you know, I can actually appreciate, you know, what that other point of view is. I mean, what a different world it would be if we could get the two political parties to come together and actually have genuine conversations instead of name-calling. You know, it is possible. And, you know, but it's hard work. Conflict is pretty much all around us. And if we don't have a way of handling it, if we don't have a way of coming together and being able to hear each other at the really deep level, I mean, listening is so important. You know, we're not going to be able to solve those big problems unless we can solve it, you know, within ourselves. And I think that's a very intimate self-care issue. It's like, how can I deal with those voices in myself that are in conflict? I mean, I have parts of me that criticize, you know, what I'm doing or what I'm thinking or how I'm feeling. And so I have to work with that at the inner level. And once I can do that, then, you know, I can relate to people out there in the world. So
a lot of times when we feel a feeling come up, we can have this association of from our past as far as a consequence of the feeling. For example, for me and my family of origin, the emotion of anger was so decisive in that my dad was a World War II vet, and when he got mad, you couldn't make yourself small enough. You didn't want to be in the room. You wanted to be invisible. And then fast forward a few decades, when I would feel this anger come up from within my own persona, the first reflex was to do whatever it took to make the feeling go away.
Sure.
And what that did was create a categorical train wreck in all my relationships, because I would avoid anger, and thus I would avoid whole arenas of choices and preferences that I couldn't share, because it would elicit a sense of anger in me. And what was curious was being able to be still with myself. When I would feel this anger come up, I could realize that, well, wait a minute, Dad's not even here. And I'm not threatened now. What is this anger telling me? And when I could be present with that anger, it would literally release, it would trip a release, and the amount of anger I felt would go down over time instead of avoiding it over and over and over again.
Sure. Yeah. I think you're onto a big principle there of, you know, really paying attention to what's going on inside. I mean, a lot of, you know, basically, again, men are not trained to pay attention to what's going on inside. We're trained to pay attention to what's going on out there in the world, out there in the environment. I mean, we've got our radar going. And a lot of times we don't see the link between, you know, the way we've been hooked, and, you know, we blame it on,
somebody out there. You know, somebody else is doing something, you know, that we disagree with, and we're getting triggered by them. And I mean, that could lead us into a whole conversation here about shadow. And that's one thing that we do a lot of work with in the men's circles is looking at our own shadows. And, you know, what are those hooks? What are those parts of us that, you know, want control, you know, that want security, that want approval, that want connection? You know, all these things are just natural and normal human needs, but they can actually become real serious problems if, you know, we become somebody that has to be in control all the time, or feel like, you know, that we have to, you know, make the world secure, and then we play on those fears and, you know, try to get people's approval. And, you know, so when those natural instincts go to the extreme, then you get problems. You get some serious problems that we just see pretty much everywhere out there. But we can't work with those problems out there unless we can, you know, I have to work with those inside myself. I have to see those parts of me that, you know, like you were saying, you know, watch yourself, seeing yourself get angry, see what the hook is, and then find out, you know, sometimes it really does help to find out what the origin of the hook is. But you don't necessarily have to. I don't think, you know, I guess we'd put a lot of therapists out of business if we said you don't have to do that. But the truth is, you know, you can just feel it, and you can say, yeah, who does this connect me to? Who does this feeling or this idea or this way of being, who does that connect me to? And once you know, then you can say to yourself, well, do I want to stay connected to that person in that same way that's painful? Perhaps in the same way that one of our parents did, or somebody that we loved and appreciated as a child. You know, they may have had certain kind of behavior, and we got attached to that behavior, and, you know, it shows up in us kind of unconsciously. And when that starts to happen, you know, if we can say, yeah, I can feel where that comes from. And what that tells you then is that you're still connected to that person in a certain way. And you can do that yourself. You can release that connection. You can release that painful way of connecting. I mean, my dad was in the same, you know, category as your dad. He was a World War II vet and very stoic. And, man, when he got that certain look on his face, you know, it's like, okay, I know I'm in trouble, and
right.
there's no way I can possibly do that. So, you know, and when I was raising my own kids, I discovered that, you know, I would kind of get into that same pattern that he had. I would, you know, I would get angry, I would blow my top, and, you know, the kids would be, uh-oh, get out of here. And, you know, at some point I realized, okay, this is definitely connected to my father. And I realized, well, you know, there were lots of other great qualities he had. And, you know, I don't have to follow in his footsteps. I can actually, you know, raise my kids differently. But that was a big awareness on my part. And, yeah, I mean, I did have to see a counselor, you know, many times to really work with that. But I think a lot of people, you know, can do it on their own. They can have a friend that they can talk to. And, you know, back to that other thing that we were talking about earlier, if you have a men's group and there are men in that group that can really listen to you and hear that, you know, you can release a lot of that old pattern. And wow, does that make a difference? Because then, you know, you're actually allowing your own sovereignty to come in, and you're saying, you know, I have a choice here. And that's really, of course, the huge piece around this notion of sovereignty, is because when you feel like you're in your sovereign, when you feel like you're in your
kingship or queenship, then you can make a choice. You can say, okay, I see I'm getting hooked here. I know where it's coming from, and I can choose a different path. Because what I really want is I really want connection. I really want to be, you know, connected to these people that I'm. In fact, I'm sure this is probably true for you too. It is for most men, and that is, you know, our most intimate relationships are the ones that where that volatility and that comes out. I mean, I can't tell you how many men I've talked to and worked with that say, yeah, why is it that I hurt the people that I love the most? Well, it's because, you know, you actually have that opportunity in a loving, connected relationship to bring out some of the parts that just are unresolved and unhealed. And so it's a good thing, you know, and that's when you're working with couples, that's the most important thing is just saying, yeah, you can be vulnerable around each other. And what that means is some of those shadow parts do come out. And what that means also is you have an opportunity to work on it. It gives you an opportunity to clarify and clear things up in a way that you wouldn't, because your friends wouldn't bring up those kinds of issues with you. I mean, most of my friends I get along really great with, you know. And so, you know, the real hard work is often in our most intimate relationships. And
sure.
Yeah, it's a blessing, you know, it's a blessing. And when we realize that, then we can affirm and accept, you know, ourselves and our partners, you know, at a deeper level. And once we do that for ourselves, then, you know, we're going to be a better person out there in the world. I mean, the more we take care of ourselves in the ways that we've been talking about, the better, you know, it's going to be for everybody out there.
Well, you know, and part of that, I mean, and it folds into the spiritual aspect of ourselves when we can take that part of us out into the world, out into our community, out into our brotherhood, if you will, that part of, I mean, we've been talking about our inner psyche and the triggers and the vulnerability and the hesitation and whatnot, but there's also a flip side of masculine that can work concurrently with our journey to wholeness, if you will, and that's being a compassionate heart in our collective, in our relationship, in the sense that, you know, especially when you look at the media, and the media has not given us any clear, healthy role models about what the masculine should look like. And so you watch TV and you see all this media playing out, and people are very upset, and people are name-calling, and they're pointing at each other, and there's all this controversy going on in the background, and yet you as a man want to make a positive influence. I mean, if all we do is sit and point fingers at what's wrong with the world, if we just point fingers at what's wrong, there's no mechanism of creation. There's no mechanism of creation of what we do want. I always like the idea of recognizing we are the creators of our life experience. I mean, when every one of us was born, we didn't even have an ego. I mean, everything about us was a creation. And so when we look at the storyline that's played out in society about what healthy masculine is, there's not a lot to reinforce the idea of men showing up as a positive vision of what can be. So say your heart is showing you an idea of creating men's groups or helping out in the community. So I'm talking about creating the healthy masculine in the role of creating the new paradigm, the new story that that kind of transcends the collective storyline. And that can be difficult to do if everybody's pushing your triggers. It's so easy to drop into a reactive role, but it takes a much more powerful man to say, think of me what you will, but my heart says this is what our story needs, and I'm here to fulfill that.
Yeah, that's a great point, and one that would be maybe good to end on is like men's, you know, when men are in their sovereignty, when men are really feeling their strength, then, you know, being a whole man, we can actually be of service to our community and we can be very generative. I truly believe that most dads out there, and I see this all the time, you know, I go swimming a lot, and there, and almost every time I'm at the swimming pool, I see a dad with their kids, you know, helping them learn how to swim and just hanging out with them. It's just amazing. There are so many wonderful fathers and brothers and men out there that are doing amazing things. And, of course, we don't hear about that in the media because the media just gives us this story about the bad guys out there, this tiny, small percentage of people that, you know, create a lot of problems for everybody else. And so, you know, the truth is, I think that there are amazing men out there that are, I mean, I can think of, you know, many, many, just about all my friends are out there doing really wonderful things. And I think pretty much everybody would say that they know people personally that, you know, are really being that kind of generative, creative person that we're talking about. So, I want to say for sure that in turbulent times, we need those ordinary men that are out there, you know, in our police forces, in our schools, in our businesses, you know, all those men that are working so hard to create a good life for their families. We need those men that have done some of this inner work and really looked at, you know, what's going on with them. We need them, we need all of us to step up. We need to, you know, really bring their creative energy into the communities and be generative and magnanimous and blessing. And, you know, that's certainly what the youth need. That's what young men need the most. They need older men that can bless them and listen to them and support them. I mean, that's the other huge missing piece in this society is rites of passage. We don't have a healthy rite of passage for most young men. And so they wonder, you know, am I really a man yet? I mean, have I gotten there, you know? And so what do? They look to their peers. And, you know, that's not, their peers are not mature men yet. And so that gets us into a situation with gangs and taking drugs and, you know, things like that. So, yeah, if the men, you know, that really are willing to step up would do that now at this point in history, I think this would be a big antidote to the turbulence that we're experiencing. You know, all the work that I've done for all these years, I know for certain that if we were to listen to young men and hold them and bless them and accept them, that, you know, they grew up to be men that really did pay attention to those other feelings in themselves, and they would feel their big hearts as well as their strengths. There's so much emphasis on strength and, you know, with men, and, you know, not enough on the heartfulness. And, you know, I think at the bottom line, most men have huge hearts, I mean, all the men that I've worked with all these many, many, many years, I find that they're, most of them are just enormously big-hearted and really, really willing to give their love and support to others.
An hour goes by pretty fast. We've just got a few minutes left. So I want to make sure that our audience can get connected with you. Can you share how they can do that?
Sure. Yep. A couple of major ways. One is mensleadershipalliance.org. So it's all one word, mensleadershipalliance.org. And the Inner King. So it's just www.innerking.com. And so those are the two main areas that I work with men. And I also, you know, when you go to those sites, you'll see that there are, the Men's Leadership Alliance has a number of events which you could participate in, other men could sign up for. And there's also an ongoing men's group that's an open group and meets twice a month. So those are the two main things. And, you know, if we do offer initiation programs and men's retreats that any man can come to. So,
well, very nice. It's been a delight having you on the show again, Tom. I want to thank you for being our guest. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
We've been talking with Tom Daly, and the topic tonight is coaching yourself in turbulent times. Tom and I were talking before the show started, and we both see this this aspect of men that really challenges them and puts them in some difficult times. I like how Tom referred to it as the rapids, if you will. I wrote a book, Sis and King, The New Age of Power, and it's very much similar to the men's issues we're talking about tonight, in the sense of the kingdom of the citizen is within themselves, within their own heart. And when you recognize who you are and can show up and honor the uniqueness of who you are. You don't have to copy anyone to be authentic. That's the whole idea behind authenticity. When you can show up for your own potential, your own human potential, and connect with the passion of your heart, big things can happen in you, through you, as you. And, you know, I encourage you to reach out to Tom's material. He's done some really wonderful work. And check out Citizen King if that resonates with you. Follow your own intuition. Make your own mind up. Make your own choices. That's the only way you're going to be genuinely authentic to who you are. Decide what you believe. Don't follow anybody just because they said it. Decide for yourself. Discern for yourself so you can become more and more authentic. It's through that authenticity, I think, that your heart and your soul find a place of rest in your everyday life, where your heart and your soul can show up in your thoughts, in your actions, in your deeds. And when your heart and your soul show up every day, wow, talk about the feeling of satisfaction and fulfillment. Well, it's my pleasure sharing this time with you. I'm so glad you chose to join us. Until next time, I'm your host, Les Jensen.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.